Want to, we're going to be studying today about anger, and you can turn the book of Ephesians. We're going to start there. As has been our pattern, we are going to move around a lot of scripture today. So I will try to make sure I announce them well if you want to follow along in your Bibles, and then also we'll try to have these on the screen too. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 to start off with in verse 26. Excuse me. We've been going through the seven deadly sins. We have looked at sloth, and we've looked at greed. And today we're going to look at anger, and the virtue, the opposite of what we're looking at today, is patience. We're going to try those things together. So let's look together, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. And Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, he says, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Have you ever heard the advice that couples shouldn't go to bed angry? Right? That's where this comes from. Okay? Comes all the way from this scripture in Ephesians. So today we're going to kind of get this picture of dealing with anger. I'm going to have more illustrations than normal, but hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you as you try to put all these things together. It's from H.B. McClung. It says, "As a passenger boarded the Los Angeles to New York plane, he told the flight attendant to wake him and make sure he got off in Dallas. The passenger awoke just as the plane was landing in New York. Furious, he called the flight attendant and demanded an explanation. Well, the fellow mumbled an apology, and in a rage, the passenger stomped off the plane. Boy, was he ever mad," another crew member observed to her errant colleague. "If you think he was mad," replied the flight attendant, "you should have seen the guy I put off the plane in Dallas." Are you awake this morning? Yeah. That'll keep your attention going. All right. What I've tried to do here with you this to give you, they call the mnemonic device, a memory tool for the seven deadly sins, is we've used this crazy thing from Gilligan's Island, right? And so what you'll see is that most all the characters have a really clear picture. Like Gilligan was usually pretty lazy. He liked to sleep a lot, so he was sloth. And Mr. Howell, Thurston Howell III, was greedy, right? He was the rich man, so he was greedy. That was pretty easy. Today's is really tricky, and it's a hard fit. But today is actually Mrs. Howell. Now, you probably don't think of Mrs. Howell as being the most angry person, but she may have been the most impatient person on the island, all right? So as you try to think about tools, obviously for anger, you probably think of the skipper being the angry one, right? But you're going to see that he's a different one and down the week. Again, this is just a picture to help you kind of put things together. So we have seen greed, and we have seen sloth, and today we're going to look at anger. I really like this quote, so I put it up on the screen for you today, and I want you to think about this. This really hits home to me. "Of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun." Do you believe that? "To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back, in many ways it is a feast fit for a king. But look at this, the chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself, the skeleton at the feast is you." Sometimes we almost cherish anger. I hate to say that, but I think that if you think about it for a little bit, it's true. Some people that really have an issue with anger, they kind of can relish in it a little bit because they're very expressive. It lets them vent out their feelings. And so we're going to look at this picture today. And again, as I said a little bit earlier, today's message has a lot of practical information in it, but I want to make sure that we don't just stay on the practical side, but that we're looking about how does this apply to the gospel and our own reputation as it comes to influencing people for the kingdom of God. What makes you mad? Brooklyn, what makes you mad? Okay. Brooklyn got a used car yesterday. We have a whole fleet of cars, by the way. Now, if anybody needs a car, just see us, okay? But yeah, we're dealing with car salesmen sometimes can get you a little bit angry, right? Anybody else? What gets you mad? Rick? Lack of air conditioning. Gets you mad, right? We're having some problems with the air conditioner at church right now. And it's like, we've worked on this thing for 2 years. It ought to be fixed by now. What's going on? It can get you mad, right? Anybody else? Your GPS runs the wrong way. Thanks, Scott. This is a good friend of mine, really great friend of mine for a long time, Scott Porter and Casey with us today. Glad you guys are here today, and the boys too. What'd you say, Donna, when somebody lies to you? That can make you really mad, right, when you find out someone lied to you, okay? Well, this is, for me, last week, it was later in the evening, and you guys, if you knew me, I'm not necessarily a lawn care person. I mean, it's okay. I'll try to mow the grass once in a while. I don't let it get too high, you know? But it's not necessarily my passion, you know, to have the most beautiful lawn. And so my wife says it's not even close, right? Hey, we did have flowers this year, though, so that was an improvement, okay? So I'm out there, and our lawnmower, we've had problems with it probably for 2 years. It will work for a while, and then sometimes it fizzes out. But it's worked the last 3 or 4 times, and I've been able to do the whole lawn. So I get out there mowing the backyard in this one corner. The grass really grows great, but only in this one spot. Everywhere else, it's like clover, right? So I get that spot 2 or 3 times, and then what happens? The mower dies. Oh, man. Okay, so I get it out of the thicker grass, get it up more in the really kind of the rocky area there, and I pull, and I pull, and I pull really hard. And I even think about, maybe if I turn my hips really fast, I can make it start, right? And what happens? Nothing. So then I'm like, okay. Then I prime it some more, probably flooding it, right? What happens? Pull, pull, like 20 times, nothing. So then I take off the air filter, try to make sure the air filter is good and clean, put it back on, even go inside for about 5 or 10 minutes. Just leave it alone, because usually that's what it does. Come back out, pull, pull. And the whole time, what do you think is happening to my temperature? Right? And my anger is rising up. So finally, you know what? I am going to Walmart, and I'm going to see about getting a new mower. This is ridiculous. So I walk into Walmart, and I look at new mower is $172, so I go to the spark plug aisle. Get a $5 spark plug, put it in the mower. Guess what happens? She starts right up. Now, it may only last for 2 weeks, but it was better than $172, right? It's interesting what makes us mad, isn't it? We have different things that aggravate us. Sometimes things that aggravate someone else may not bother us at all. We had an interesting fireworks display at our house last night that wasn't ours, from the neighbors. And we had some people that were really having a great time and loving it. We had some people that wanted to come out. We were calling the cops and about ready to have a knockdown drag out, right? Different things make different people angry. So today I want us to think a little bit about what makes us angry, see if we can identify those things, and then learn what may be good and what may not be good, and then resolve them, especially, again, for the glory of the Lord and for the promotion of his gospel. So how do you deal with anger most of the time? Hopefully, most of the time when you are angry, you delay your decision to act. What does it mean to delay your decision to act? What's that word? What's another word for that? Walk away. Perfect, Robert. Yeah. To delay that decision to act means to walk away, and really that is the word for patience. Oftentimes, patience is, I'm going to delay my decision to act, right? What I did at Walmart was, I'm so frustrated, I'm just going to go buy a new mower. And when I went and saw the price tag, that helped me delay my decision to act, right? Be a little more patient, okay? How do you do with the anger that comes in your life? For most of the series that we've been looking at, Seven Deadly Sins, we're going to spend most of the time focusing on the positive, but today we're going to look more at the negative. Today we're going to look more at this idea of anger and what can we do to work more towards patience instead of focusing on anger. So what does the scripture say about anger? Well, the first thing I want you to catch today, and I think this is really important, especially in a very politically comfortable climate, anger is not a sin in itself. And I think some people think that it is. If someone's angry, well, that must be wrong. But actually, if you study the scriptures, there are some things that remind us that there is appropriate time to be angry. So let's look just briefly at a few of those things. And I'll give you an illustration here. This is a really good quote to start off with. A person who is angry on the right grounds, against the right persons, in the right manner, at the right moment, and for the right length of time, deserves what? Great praise. You should get angry about injustice. We're going to talk a little bit more about that illustration later today from this past week. Injustice should make you angry. It should. And that's right, and that's good if you do it in the right way. The first thing I want you to see today and be mindful of is that God can be angry. So if we know that God is perfect, he is holy, he is righteous, is God ever angry in the Scriptures? When you search the Scriptures about anger, you'll find over 100 passages that relate to the anger of the Lord. We know that God does not sin, but we find in the Scriptures oftentimes that he is angry. So let me just say this morning, if a perfect God can be angry, it is not wrong for you to be angry at the right thing. Does that make sense? Let me say something here that's probably going to be really controversial. If you want to talk to me afterwards about it, you can. But I prayed this a long time, even in back home in Illinois, we used to pray this prayer a lot. Lord, help us love the things you love and help us to hate the things you hate. Now, people don't like to use the word hate today. They would like to strip it out of everything, but the truth is there are things that God hates, right? You guys, the problem with a lot of us, if you're a preacher specifically, is that oftentimes we don't hate sin. We tolerate it, and we really tolerate it in our own heart, don't we? God hates sin. There are certain things in our life that we should hate. And so today, as we talk about anger, I wanted to take this picture with you that sometimes anger is actually appropriate. What about Jesus himself? Was Jesus ever angry? Whether with the Pharisees or with the disciples and the way they were treating the little ones or in the most famous incident, we find that Jesus sometimes was angry. We sang of Jesus and his beautiful name earlier today, right? And you think about that picture of him and kind and loving. But there was a day that Jesus went into a temple, and it was supposed to be a place of prayer and a place of worship. And what had happened is that they were making it into a marketplace. People were learning how to game the system, because as people came to the temple, people came from faraway places, they had to exchange their monies to get different kinds of monies, and they would need to buy sacrifices to offer at the temple. So what they did was they set up shop right there at the temple, in the temple, and when the Lord comes in, he's like, this is wrong. Jesus picks up the table, he turns over the tables. Do you think that would have been a news incident today? I mean, CNN, Fox, and ABC, that would have been over everything, wouldn't it? The perfect holy man just went and threw a big fit in the synagogue. What I'm telling you again today is there's an appropriate time to be angry about the right things. So don't let this message push you away from not ever being angry. There's definitely a right time. Again, even our text today that we just looked at assumes this truth, right? Do not sin. Be angry and sin not. Do not sin in your anger. So God expects us to be angry, but he also expects us to control it. And finally, anger can even be useful as it stirs up passion within us for right and for righteousness. You can use anger to accomplish good. Quick illustration of that. There was a basketball player by the name of Walt Frazier years ago during a Knicks and a Bullets playoff game. One of the Bullets came up from behind Walt Frazier, and he punched him in the face. Strangely, the referee called a foul on Frazier. Now, how angry do you think that would make you? Somebody comes and hits you in the face, and they call a foul on you? Whoa, right? Frazier didn't complain. His expression never changed. He simply called for the ball, and he put in 7 straight shots to win the game. He used his anger to fuel his desire to show what was right without losing his temper. That's powerful, isn't it? Again, just a very simple, practical example of that. All right, so what the Scripture says about anger, the first thing is that not all anger is sin. As a matter of fact, it can be useful. We see that God and Christ himself show us that there are times when anger is appropriate. But also, the Scripture teaches us that a quick temper is the sign of what? How would you feel today if I called you a fool? You might be breaking it out like our neighbors were last night on the street, right? What? You're calling me a fool? Let's have a little conversation here, right? Look what the Scripture says about a person that doesn't control their anger. We're going to go through a lot of verses here real quick, so bear with me. The great Benjamin Franklin even said, anger is never without a reason, but seldom with a good one. I like that. Proverbs 29, verse 11, the Lord says through Solomon, Proverbs chapter 29, he says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Have you ever heard people make the excuse, well, basically, I have to explode, because if not, it's going to build up inside me. Have you ever made that excuse yourself? Right. Well, what happens when it explodes? Well, it leaves all kinds of collateral damage, doesn't it? Right? The scripture says a fool gives full vent to his anger. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. And there again, I believe it's Solomon writing, said, "The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools." That's pretty strong terminology, isn't it? Look in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16. "A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil." Even Job was categorized as such. "But a fool is hot-headed and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated." Again, this is not just like one time it shows up, but over and over again we see how anger and foolishness are tied together. Proverbs 14, verse 29. "A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays" what? His folly, right? And finally, Matthew chapter 5. And catch the gravity of this passage. I hope that you'll really let it sink in a little bit. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You've heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." Right? Just about everybody here today probably would say, "Well, I've never murdered anybody, right? I'm off the hook. Got that commandment clear, right?" Well, look what Jesus says in verse 22. "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raca," is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of what? Of hell. Right? And we do this a lot with the Ten Commandments. We like to lay things out. "Oh, I've never cheated on my wife. I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen anything." And then Jesus hits you at the heart, doesn't he, right? Earlier he talks about the lust of a man being infidelity, and here he talks about the anger in a person's heart being the same as murder. And so when you get so welled up anger that you call someone else a fool, that you write them off, he says you're endangering your own spiritual well-being when you do that. It's a big deal to lose your cool. Those are some strong phrases. Again, not mine. You think about them and study them even this morning. Again, the scripture says a quick temper is a sign of a foolish person. The next thing I want you to see today is that anger is contagious and habit forming. Anger is contagious and habit forming. Look in Proverbs 22:24. There, Solomon writes, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered," or what? "Or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." In Proverbs 19:19, "A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him," what? "You'll have to do it again." Now, here's the thing. I usually don't get overly worked up. You can ask my wife, my family. I get mad once in a while, but I usually don't explode too often, okay? But you know what I'm really good at that I have to be careful of? Is I can really turn up the temperature on somebody who is easily angered. Do you know how people do that? I'll give you a quick example. And hopefully I'm not just picking on one person. Hopefully there's a few people in here who feel the same way, but I don't know. Can you believe that air conditioner? I mean, it's been 2 years. Brother Todd, we hired someone to come in here and fix that. And why is that not fixed yet? Rick, isn't that going to get you a little frustrated? And now we had to mop it again. And then we had Dustin. Diane, aren't you a little upset? Your son came in here and he redid the whole ceiling where it was leaking after we thought it was fixed. Doesn't that make you angry? Do you see how that can make you just a little bit, it can be contagious? Yeah. I have to be really careful of that. Because I see things sometimes like, well, that's just not right. And I'll start spewing those things out because you guys know I think out loud and transfer things out loud. And I do it at work with this poor lady. Can you imagine having to sit across from me at work? Wouldn't that be the worst thing ever? And we'll start talking about, well, can you believe they did that in that power school program? And why did they? And if I start rattling off, I can see her temperature rise. And whose fault is it? Some of it is my responsibility because anger is contagious. Now, guess what happens when you're able to reply with a calm word? When you're able to see a good way to resolve a tricky situation? You know what that helps the people around you do as well? It keeps their temperature down too, doesn't it? Right? Oh yeah, well, we'll call so-and-so and we'll try to get this resolved and we'll work on this situation. Rather than, let me crank up our why we've been mistreated. So today I encourage you, and even you can see it in my own heart, that we would be better about the way that we even relate to others, even if we're not the one who is the one that explodes. Another thing today, another big picture thing today, destruction or destructive anger leaves lasting scars. The old Chinese proverb says, the fastest horse cannot catch a word spoken in anger. Have you ever said something and then as soon as you said it, you're like, oh, whoa, I should not have said that. Right? Yeah. Again, patience is delaying that decision to act. Your mind says, I'm angry, I'm going to say this, so it'll be a good zinger and they'll feel the full fury of my wrath. And then after you say it, you're like, oh, why did I do that? Delay that decision to act. You'll be so glad that you did. Ephesians 4:26, again, that we've talked about this morning. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When we let the sun go down, what begins to happen? I can't believe it. Joe didn't even shake my hand Wednesday night. I wasn't here Wednesday night, by the way. Oh, how rude. I'm not even going to sit at his table this week. I think he made the meatloaf. I'm not even eating that meatloaf. Right? And then the next week, Joe's like, well, why hasn't Travis been talking to me? I don't think I'm going to talk to him. And then it's my turn to cook the quesadillas. Joe says, I don't like quesadillas. I don't have any meat in them anyways. Right? And that battle kind of goes back and forth and back and forth. And the next thing you know, what do you have? You have a rift over the silliest of things. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If there's an issue, let's talk about it. Let's resolve it right away. If there's a problem with me and you today, let's figure it out now so our relationship can stay good and be healthy and be God-glorifying and be edifying to one another rather than assuming what somebody else's motive is and then sticking that down within us. Again, be very careful with that. Again, that quick word can get out. It does its damage, and it can take years, sometimes even a lifetime, to repair. Now, look at this. These next two things are really important, probably the whole key of the message today, especially as we think about the kingdom of God as it relates to anger and patience. It only takes one outburst to ruin your testimony and your reputation. Right? One outburst. It only takes one really bad mistake for that's how you're known. We could go through different people, and not necessarily always tied to anger, but even recently, there's been people, you guys know I follow the sports world a lot. There's a lot of coaches done incredible, incredible good with so many young men, but they let one really bad thing slide by, and that's how they're known. Right? Anger is the same way. One moment, you can lose all your credibility, all the influence that you're trying to bear down with others about the gospel, you can lose it. Losing your cool is deadly to your witness. Losing your cool is deadly to your witness. Again, I had a pastor friend, he's still a pastor friend of mine, and I followed him into a community where he used to pastor a church, and then I came in and pastored that church. And there were people in that community who had a problem with Christians and with our church because he lost his cool at a Little League baseball game. This pastor friend is a great person, loves God, trying to do what he can. He got too upset at one moment, didn't control it, and instead of being known for all the good that he was doing, he was known to some people because he lost his cool at a little kid's sporting event. You guys follow me today? It's a big deal, and people are watching you. People at your work, people in your neighborhood, and even the young kids here at our church, they're watching how you handle yourself and when you're able to be patient, and are you angry over the right things. So my challenge to all of us this morning is ask the Lord to give us the control we need from His Holy Spirit, that we would have the patience we need, that we would magnify His great name and protect our witness. How should we deal with anger? Let's talk about that just a little bit, and we'll try to wrap things up just a little bit this morning. How should we deal with anger? Again, anger out of control ruins lives. You guys, did you see this week? That little girl in Pennsylvania, I say little, she was 18, right? Her and another man, they're driving down the road. The lane is merging, right? And the lane's about to merge, and so they have a battle over who's supposed to get the spot, and what ends up happening to this poor girl? This guy, I don't think they even caught him yet, a guy in a red truck, he pulls out a gun, and he kills the girl while they're driving, and her car goes off in the ditch. She's done. Over merging. Lord, help us, right? You guys, and that's like one of the most picturesque things of something that is so insignificant that becomes so destructive. And it didn't have to be. All somebody had to do was do what? They had to yield. Wow. Really, in just about any fight, that's really all it takes, isn't it? One person to be patient enough to yield and say, God is bigger than this, and I don't have to have my way. Man, huge, huge thing. So as you think about dealing with anger, there's three things I want to talk about that we can do with anger. One, the first one, is you can explode. Jim Taylor from The Currents says this. He says in the following story about his friend Ralph Midiori. He says, one morning Ralph woke up at 5 o'clock to a noise that sounded like someone repairing boilers on his roof. He was still in his pajamas. He went into the backyard to investigate. He found a woodpecker on the TV antenna pounding its little brains out on the metal pole. Angry at the little creature who ruined his sleep, he picked up a rock and he threw it. The rock sailed over his house and he heard a distant crash as it hit the car. In utter disgust, he took a vicious kick at a clod of dirt only to remember too late that he was still in his bare feet. Uncontrolled anger, as Ralph learned, can sometimes be its own reward. You ever been there? You lose your cool only to realize that something else aggravates it, right? Again, you can explode. Scripturally, what do we find about explosion and anger? Do you remember Moses leading the people of Israel? Do you think he had any right to be angry? There was definitely a place that he could have vented his anger in an appropriate way, but what happened one day? God says, I want you to speak to the rock, and water will come out of the rock. It'll take care of our people. And this is Moses, who had already, with his staff, had parted the seas, and people had walked across on dry ground. So he knew the power of God was with him. But he was angry at the people. And so instead of just speaking to the rock, what did Moses do? He smote the rock with the staff. You want water? Here you go! And what happened to Moses and Aaron because of that? Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Wow. You don't get to see the final results of all this labor because you didn't trust me. Tie those things together this morning real quick. When you lose control of your anger, when you explode, what God says, it's a lack of trust in me. Right? That's really what anger explosions are all the time, aren't they? Does God handle the situation? Is he going to take care of it, or do you have to take care of yourself? Is God going to defend you, or do you have to defend yourself? Do you trust him? So many times we say, I don't know if he's going to act quick enough. I'm going to take care of me and mine, right? And that's why we end up in the situation. So you can deal with anger by explosion. You can deal with anger by implosion. Just hold it all inside. Don't resolve it. Just harbor bitter feelings for years. And who does it hurt the most? It hurts you, right? Again, another biblical example of this idea of hanging on to anger in our heart. You guys know the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock, and the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? And I'm sure that we don't have all the insight in the scripture, but for Cain, this began to grow and to build, right? What's the deal with Abel? Why does God like Abel's sacrifice? Look, I gave some fruit, right? What's the deal with the animal thing there? What's going on there? Why does God like him better than me? This is ridiculous. I'm very worthwhile. I'm a very worthy person. And the more he looked at Abel, the more what did he do towards Abel? he hated him, right? His anger went to the point of hatred, which went to the point of murder. The first one in the scriptures, right? You guys, that's why anger, God says, don't let the sun go down on that wrath. Because if you let it keep welling up in you, and you keep getting anger over the same thing over and over again, that bitterness sets in. If it manifests itself in hatred, it can really have destructive consequences. So let's look at the best way to deal with anger, and that is obviously to use patience. A great passage, Psalm 37. If you get some time, read the whole Psalm, Psalm 37. A great picture of how we need to deal with the truth that sometimes good things happen to wicked people. Psalm 37, verse 7. And the psalmist writes, "Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him." Again, you see how trust and patience go together, right? "Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath." Do not fret. It only leads to what? To evil. "For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." You guys getting this morning? It's all about trust, isn't it, right? As we think about this picture of anger and patience, it's, do we really trust the Lord, or do I have to defend myself in my way? Great, great truth here. If we need to improve our trust, it's probably we just need to be walking closer with the Lord. We know those things over and over again, right? Spending time with him. Prayer, scripture, being around the people of God, meditating on the things of God, singing the songs of God to help us know the Lord better, because the more we know him, the more we trust him. The more evidence we see him working in our life. And the more we trust him, the less likely we're going to be losing our cool, and we're going to be able to delay our action in patience because we know that the Lord will ultimately make things right. Real quickly, Proverbs 15:18. "A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel." Right? Be that patient man or that patient woman. Proverbs 16:32, "Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city." Wow, there's power in being able to control that emotion of anger. Ask the Lord to give you strength to do that. Briefly, over in James chapter 1:9, a few practical helps here this morning. James is a great passage here about this idea of anger. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be" what? You guys probably have this memorized. "Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to" what? Slow to become angry, right? That's kind of along the lines your mom always said, that's why you have two ears and one mouth, right? You should listen twice as much as you talk. And again, be slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life God desires. So a few things here about anger. Number one, acknowledge it. Are you angry? Okay. Hey, I'm angry. What are you angry about? Why did I get angry? Why are you angry? Do I have a right to be angry? The lawnmower, no right to be angry. That's just life. And that's me getting frustrated, right? It's not that big a deal. I need to figure out how to make my way through that. If I see injustice, someone mistreating a child, someone mistreating a kid, or that guy running that girl so she's off the road, that's injustice. There's a right to be angry about that. Acknowledge your anger. What is it that I'm angry about? Is it righteous or not right? Delay your action. Delay your action. Wait before you strike. And you guys, these are such practical things, but so many times they work. Count to 10. Ooh, if I could only get my hands around. Ugh. You felt like that before? More importantly than counting to 10 is pray to 10. All right? If you, in your anger, can turn to the Lord and say, "God, I'm about to lose it. Can you help me out?" Guess what the Lord will do so often? He'll help you manage and walk through that situation. This is patience. This is the main key to the destructive problem most of the time. Wait before you speak or before you act. Think first. Robert, he mentioned this morning, again, this idea, walk it off, right? Walk away. All right? Yield. For me, again, oftentimes, go and listen to something. Listen to some music. If you guys, this is really good, just be very careful. You know where the send button is on your email, but you've all gotten those emails where you're about ready to lay into someone, right? Sometimes one of the best things that you can do is write it out. If you ever, and if I see, and when you do, it makes your and here, point 7, 8, 9, and 22 why I'm right and you're wrong, and then delete the draft. And a lot of times that will help you get that out without hurting anybody, okay? Any of you guys have worked in education, you completely understand what I'm talking about right there. One of the things I have to do every day is like decide when to hit send and when to make a draft and then just delete it, okay? Write it out. Oftentimes it can help you out. Talk it out. Find someone that you can trust, that you love, and vent out that situation. You know that helps me so much, and I think that's where I can help some other people. When they come to me and they're angry, instead of me fueling their anger and turning up the heat, I can just listen. Tell me what's going on. What's really got you upset? And the more they're able to share out that problem, and then after a little bit, they're like, okay, I know it's not great, but maybe I can make my way through this. How practical it is sometimes for us just to be a listening ear or for us to talk it out. But again, those are some very practical things. And finally, then what we need to do, and this is the hardest thing sometimes, is resolve the issue when we can. Why did I get angry? Can I do something to make resolution? If we don't resolve it, we'll be in danger of imploding or exploding down the line. Use anger in a positive way to make a resolution. All right. One final illustration will be done today. Many years ago, a senior executive of Standard Oil made a wrong decision that cost the company more than $2 million. Can you imagine making a $2 million mistake? That's a big one, isn't it? Well, John D. Rockefeller, who was, again, the head of Standard Oil, was running the firm even at the time. On the day the news leaked out, most of the executives of the company were finding various ingenious ways of avoiding Mr. Rockefeller, I bet, lest his wrath descend on their heads. There was one exception, however. He was Edward T. Bedford, a partner in the company. Bedford was scheduled to see Rockefeller that day, and he kept the appointment even though he was prepared to listen to a long harangue against the man who made the error in judgment. When he entered the office, the powerful head of the gigantic Standard Oil empire was bent over his desk, busily writing with a pencil on a pad of paper. Bedford stood silently, not wishing to interrupt. After a few minutes, Mr. Rockefeller looked up. "Oh, it's you, Bedford," he said calmly. "I suppose you've heard about our loss." Bedford said that he had. "I've been thinking it over," Rockefeller said, "and before I asked the man in to discuss the matter, I've been making some notes." Bedford later told the story this way. Across at the top of the page was written, "Points in favor of Mr. Blank," the person who made the $2 million mistake. There followed a long list of the man's virtues, including a brief description of how he had helped the company make the right decision on three separate occasions that had earned many times the cost of his recent error. He says, Mr. Bedford says, "I never forgot that lesson. In later years, whenever I was tempted to rip into someone, I forced myself first to sit down and thoughtfully compile as long a list of good points as I possibly could. Invariably, by the time I finished my inventory, I would see the matter in its true perspective and keep my temper under control. There is no telling how many times this habit has prevented me from committing one of the costliest mistakes any executive can make, losing his temper. I commend it to anyone who must deal with people." That's pretty good, isn't it? The next time your brother or sister or your mom or dad or your neighbor or the guy at the grocery store or the person who is following you too closely or is driving too slow in front of you, try to imagine and lay out some of the inventory of the value they have as a person, especially if you know them, lay out the value that they've done in your life. Right? Yeah. Let the Lord use that to allow you to delay your action to show patience for his glory. As we think about how anger and patience relate to the gospel, remember that this has such a powerful opportunity to be a vice or a virtue as it relates to your witness. When you explode, when you should be patient, you threaten the name of your Lord. Are you guys hearing that today? When you explode, when you should be patient, you hurt the name of Christ. But the opposite is also true. When you show patience in the midst of stressful situations, people may seek to learn from where you get your strength. You catch that today? When everybody else says, "Man, I would have just lost it there, but that guy, I don't know how he held together. What is different about him? That lady, did you see how she handled herself in that situation? How in the world could she do that? I want to know more about them." And what an opportunity to be a light.